Hello and welcome. We're now going to move into our last lecture of our first unit on real property. And this last lecture is for this third unit is on real property taxes. Real property, as we've always said, represents wealth, power, and life. And as a result of that, the government has also recognized that because it represents wealth and power, that it can be taxed. And real property taxes are a way traditionally that local governments and school districts are able to gain the money they need to operate. And we're going to discuss that this evening. Last time we discussed an introduction to real property. We talked about its definitions, its importance. Remember, it represents wealth, power, and life. We talked about its nature. We talked about the procedure of livery of season, whereby the person takes the sword and cuts it out of the yard, cuts the sod out, hands it to the neighbor. The neighbor hands them the gold in front of the entire town, and then they beat up the three-year-old kid. Pretty sad. But that's how property before the age and days of deeds was transferred. Today, property is transferred by means of a signed written instrument, the deed, which describes the property, describes what you're getting. Remember, it has those words of purchase. Who does it go to? Words of limitation. What are they getting? And that deed represents that titled instrument that is provided to you. And that deed is the instrument today by which real property is transferred. But back then, livery of season, that's how they did it. We also talked about shared interests in land. Land is so valuable. Remember, wealth, power, and life. Land is so valuable that you sometimes are allowed to share it. And we talked about tenancy of the entirety, which is a way that you own it as spouses. You have to be married to be tenants in the entirety. You get a right of survivorship, and that right lasts forever unless you get a death, a divorce, or an agreement, or a joint creditor execution. Joint tenants don't have to be married, but they are brought together by a unity of time, title, interest, and providing that they want to own that property together. Remember, its severance is less limited. It too has a right of survivorship where you're going to be able to transfer it in case of the death of the other tenant. But a inter vivos attempt even to convey or a conveyance eviscerates it, as does a creditor execution. Unlike a single creditor execution does not end a tenancy in the entirety, it does enter a joint tenancy. Lastly, you have joint tenant. You have tenants in common. Tenants in common is where multiple people, it could be two or more, own the property together, and they don't have a right of survivorship. When one of the joint tenants, when the tenants in common dies, that passes to the heirs of that person. And you can freely alienate that interest. I mean, you can sell it, you can gift it away. And the other tenants in common do not have the right to say what they want on them. Now, tonight we're going to talk about real property taxes. We're going to talk about the valuation of property, its regressiveness, the entities that are supported by it. Let's get started. Tax man cometh. There are only two types of taxes that tax you on what you own or what you have, not upon what you earn or what you acquire. And they're real property taxes and estate taxes. If you really want to get legally specific, there's only one that taxes you on what you already own. And that's real property taxes. Why not death taxes? Doesn't that tax you on what you already own? Kind of. But it's your heirs that pay the death or estate taxes, not you. You don't pay them. Why? Because you're dead. Real property taxes, however, it doesn't matter whether you're a multi-millionaire or poorer than a church mouse, you have to pay them because it is based upon your property. And it's based upon an assessment of that property, how much the local government views your property is worth. It's called assessed value. And under New York State law, under 306 of the real property tax law, it has to be full value assessment. That means if your house is worth $200,000, that's what it's going to be assessed for. It's the fair market value of your property. Now, that wasn't always the case. Localities would do a fractional base of that. Our case tonight is going to talk about that because the law says it's got to be based on the full value. And that's what it is today because that's what the statute says. And by the way, that statute's been the same since 1829. It's not a new law. Real property taxes are very oppressive, very repressive, very regressive. They're especially hard on the poor and on the elderly. Why? Because they're not based upon what you earn or acquire, they're based on what you have right now. So if you get your house 50 years ago when it wasn't worth that much, and today because of the rising real estate prices in the area in which you live, it's worth an awful lot, but you're not a rich person. Because the value's going up, because that assessed value's going up, so does your tax bill. So even though you don't have much money and you've never done anything, it's not like you just bought that house, you bought it 50 years ago, you still have to pay that high real property tax in order to keep it. And so many elderly people, particularly in the state of New York, have had a serious problem affording to keep their home. Why should people who have owned their homes for generations have to now sell them merely to pay the taxes? Isn't that kind of unfair? Well, that's why a lot of people view real property taxes as very oppressive, particularly on the poor and elderly. Now, local governments, special districts, school districts, things like fire districts, love real property taxes because that's how they get funded. Now, why do they love that as opposed to a different form like an income tax, which is how the state of New York gets its money? Real property taxes only go to fund local governments, special districts, and schools. They don't fund the state of New York. The state of New York does not get real property tax income. Only local governments, special districts, and schools. But they love it. Why? Because it's a very stable source of government revenue. Whereas income taxes fluctuate, go up and down with the market, real property taxes don't. That house is there. That house's value is maintained. And even if the value of the house goes down, local governments can raise the rate of the taxes so it remains the same. So as a result of that, local governments, special districts, fire districts, schools, they love real property taxes because they can guarantee how much money they're going to get. Now, because they've become so oppressive in New York State, there's been many movements on both sides of the political aisle to reduce the burden of real property taxes. When they call New York State tax hell, which many commentators have, the principal reason isn't just the fact that New York State has an income tax. It's because its real property taxes are outrageously high. And Governor Pataki, back in the 1990s, created a program called the STAR program. It's called, it's an acronym meaning school tax relief program, because your real property taxes are divided basically in half. You have that goes for local government, special districts, and fire districts. And then you have your school taxes, and they're divided basically in half. But your school taxes generally are the largest portion of that, by far generally. And it's different in every different school districts because they have school boards that raise their own taxes. But at the end of the day, most of the time your school tax bill is the highest one you pay in real property taxes. So in the 1990s, the state legislature and Governor Pataki got together and decided they were going to create this STAR program, which is a school tax relief program. And what that does is it says for principally the elderly, but also for all taxpayers on a more limited basis, the state of New York is going to dedicate a portion of its income taxes to pay your real property tax levy. So a portion of your taxes will be reduced, a portion of your real property school taxes will be reduced and shifted over to the state income tax. It's literally saved billions of dollars for real property taxpayers in New York under the school tax relief program. Now, because of the fact your real property taxes are still way too high, despite the STAR program, because that only pays a small portion of your school taxes, doesn't pay a single dollar for your municipal special district or your fire district taxes, which could be almost, in most cases, particularly in my municipality, it's the same. Your county and your town taxes are the same as your school taxes, basically come out the same amount. And because STAR program doesn't offer any relief for that, and because it only offers a small portion of relief on your school taxes, there was still a need to try and reduce this huge burden of real property taxes. So in 2011, the legislature, at the leadership of Governor Cuomo, where Governor Pataki was a Republican, Governor Cuomo was a Democrat. They both recognized the oppressive nature of real property taxes. Governor Cuomo came in with the Senate and the Assembly and passed the real property tax cap. And what that says is that any increase in your tax levy, meaning the amount that they collect from you of real property taxes, above 2% in any year has to be passed by a 60% vote. Now, that does a substantial lift with respect to things like counties or school districts, which are a public vote where you have to have 60% of the public because the public votes on school budgets. But with towns in particular, doesn't mean much. Why? Because most towns have a town board of five people. So a 60% vote is also a majority vote. If you get three members, that's a 60% vote. So it didn't really change much for your town taxes. Similarly, if your village is a five-person board of trustees, which they frequently are, a majority vote is the same as a 60% vote. Now, on counties, on the other hand, you tend to have larger governing bodies. County legislatures and boards of supervisors tend to be much larger than five people. So you have to get together a larger number for that vote. But that tax cap has acted as a political weapon too, whereby the voters get very angry if you're violating the tax cap. Even if it's only by a majority vote, which means it's 60% because of the fact that you have a three persons on the town board who have to vote for it anyway in order for anything to pass. So This is a political weapon, which the voters can turn around and say, you voted to violate the tax cap. You're raising taxes well above that 2% amount, and you shouldn't do it. Well, seeing that inflation is running generally below 2% or right around there, depending on the year, we haven't had inflation above that level for many years. So as a result of that, you're really providing much greater spending than the rate of inflation. That can happen if there's a problem with the town. You know, we had a great deal of flooding in northern New York a few years ago. You'll have certain circumstances relating to all of a sudden there's a problem with a storm, which causes a, you know, like something like a superstorm Sandy, which happened a number of years ago, which caused a great number of public works projects on it. Yeah, the localities sometimes need additional revenues. So as a result of that, there is a way to get around this tax cap, but it needs a two-thirds vote. That's all we have on real property tax today, and we're going to move into our case next. We'll see you shortly. Thanks so much.